Welcome back to Casting Dreams. I'm Jonathan Eaton.
And I'm Patrick Anderson.
Patrick, I'm so excited about the game that we're going to talk about today.
Because it burns my soul.
because
the soul never dies. I'm Carl Sagan. Thank you for playing Soul Calibur.
That was something I was thinking when I was replaying this, I know that we would do that voice all the time when we would play it. And yeah. I was like, is it really that funny? And then I was playing it again. I'm like, it is that funny. It's just like every single time, like,
Sung Mina tried to beat so-and-so, but the soul still burns.
Oh, man. Guys, today we're talking about Soul Calibur, Dreamcast launch game. I don't remember if we got... I don't think we didn't have this game right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope. I don't remember when we got it, Honestly, sometimes my memory is so bad where I'm just like, did we get it first? Tell you to get it. Did you get it first and tell like me to get it? Like, I don't know which one of those things it was. But at some point, we had Soul Calibur and we played the absolute living shit out of it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It was hot. It was a hot.
It was always like, hey, what are we doing Friday night? Dude,
Soul Calibur.
Okay.
I remember... it must have been, maybe it was New Year's Eve. Oh God, I think it was New Year's Eve 1999. That would have been it. I remember you were at our house for New Year's Eve, and it was like stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, year 2000. We were just playing. I think we were just playing Soul Calibur.
I can't say I remember everything, but I would not be surprised. It's either that or GoldenEye, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure Y2K ended. I mean, like, if we're being honest, it was probably like, hey, come over and play video games. We're going to play Soul Calibur and House of the Dead 2 and GoldenEye and Mario Party.
We can't be girlfriends, so let's play some video games.
Girls don't like us, so let's play video games. We can't get girlfriends, so let's just play as Sophitia and keep doing that crotch grab thing she does.
Yo!
Oh my God. Okay. Soul Calibur. I have a little bit of info, not a ton. Once again, to reiterate to anyone listening, we're lovers, not experts. We don't know everything that there is to know about these games. We just love these games, and... We also played them 24 years ago. 25 years ago.
Jesus
fuck
Christ.
Me. Fuck. Well, fuck, Patrick. Soul Calibur was originally released in July 1998 as an arcade game. Mm-hmm. It was ported to the Dreamcast in 99 as a U.S. launch game. I think we talked about this before, but one of the things about like the Dreamcast's internal hardware was that it was really, really easy to port games to because of like the chips that they used. So it was quite easy. And that's why so many of their games were ports of like arcade shit or like, like older games. But this is something I didn't know, or maybe knew and then completely forgot. Soul Calibur is a sequel to
Soul Edge?
To Soul Edge. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you ever play Soul Edge?
No. I just remember seeing it and I was like, oh, that looks stupid. But then what did I know?
Soul Edge was the original game, which it was also an arcade game. Mm-hmm. It was ported to PlayStation originally, and it was renamed in the US, it was renamed Soul Blade. So some people might have played Soul Blade on the PlayStation. So Soul Calibur is actually the sequel to that. But like no one remembers Soul Edge or Soul Blade. Like for all intents and purposes, I feel like Soul Calibur really is like the first game of the series because it was huge. It was a huge thing, a huge hit. Soul Calibur was the first two-person fighting game to innovate the 8-way run. which is really interesting. And like, I think one of the reasons why it's so much fun to play. So previous to that, your fighting games, you know, your Street Fighters, your Mortal Kombats, etc., were, you know, these 2D games where it's one person on each side of the screen and you just kind of go left and right, up and down, and you fight each other. Mm-hmm. Soul Calibur is fully 3D and introduced, you know, left and right, up and down, but then like the Z-axis, like backwards and forwards. So you can press, I think it's up and down on like the joystick. Up and down makes you actually strafe side to side, which like, which, you know, the way you're looking at it, you know, on the screen makes you move kind of around the circular,
The ring,
you know, arena.
Yeah.
And then I think there were buttons where you could jump, because like up and down don't do like jump and crouch. They make you, basically like if you were in the character's body, it would be strafing left and right, but because you're looking at it, from like the kind of like 2D perspective, but so they call that the 8-way run, which gave you a lot more movement, in the field.
Did not know that.
Something else that is interesting that the developers of Soul Calibur did in their game was what they called forgiving buffering. And forgiving buffering let players be less precise with their movement and combos that you could pull off like complicated moves. So I find this interesting. And actually, I think it kind of explains why I really, really loved Soul Calibur and like never really got into Mortal Kombat, specifically Mortal Kombat, even like current Mortal Kombat, because they released like one of the most recent Mortal Kombat games was like free on the PlayStation, and I downloaded it. Me and Becca were playing it. I was just like, oh, I'm not good at this. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And the thing is like with those old school fighting games, and it made a lot of sense with like a D-pad, and I feel like it makes way less sense with joysticks. But like you would do these combos where it's like up, down, up, down, down, left, right, you know, up, left, down, right. Like you would do these, you'd pull off these really complicated like beep, boop, 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 button combos, and then your character would do something like fucking badass. And I suck at that.
Well, but that's like you said it just right there, you know, especially with that D-pad. I mean, granted, you can feel it with an analog, but at least with the D-pad, because you know it's, you know, button-based, so at least you can feel like, okay, I did hit up, I did hit left, rather than analog, it's like,
like, so, didn't I hit it? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting, though. I didn't realize, I know it was like the first kind of weapon. Or one of the first weapon-based fighting games, but yeah.
I want to say, because Tekken is isn't Tekken weapon-based, or am I wrong?
I don't think it's weapon-based.
I never really played Tekken. I never. hey, listeners, I got a secret for you. I never really played Tekken. We got, you know, it's funny. We got a couple of years ago, we got that Super NES, like the little the remake. I don't remember what they called them, but like the little teeny guy that's like HDMI, and it comes preloaded with like 40 games or whatever. Mm-hmm. We got that a while ago, and like the game that me and Becca played the most was fucking Street Fighter 2. And like I never played Street Fighter 2 when I was a kid, but for some reason we were just like, oh, it's Street Fighter. Let's play it. And we played it and we're like, we got really into it. Like it was a lot of fun. But that's like the most.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say I broke 4 controllers, Super Nintendo controllers over that game with my brother.
Oh my God.
I used to throw it at the TV, at the old CRTV glass screens. And I just, my brother's like, stop it. I always use Chun-Li and I always got my ass whooped even by Zangief, but whatever.
Chun-Li's like one of the best characters though.
Yeah, so I suck that much.
Oh, no. Well, that was going to be my question, is were you ever good at those kind of fighting games?
No. I could practice and practice and practice against the computer, but when I would play against, you know, a human being, it was like... But, you know, I think with Soul Calibur, though, I think I was pretty competitive, I think, with you and your brother, and I think Mike Gross used to play with us, and...
Yeah.
I don't know if Mike Bekovich did.
I'm sure our friend David also played Soul Calibur with us.
Yes, sorry, David.
Yeah. We played so much Soul Calibur. So that's kind of nice to know also, because that was really the first and kind of only fighting game I ever got into. And that's just how good it was.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it still is.
We'll talk about this later, but there've been a lot of Soul Calibers over the years, and I still nothing is as good as the first one, in my opinion.
This is it.
There's not a ton of stuff I feel like to talk about Soul Calibur, other than the characters and the combat, right?
Right.
So the characters, I kind of want to go through each character and talk about them. But before I do, actually, I want to watch the intro movie.
Nothing got you more pumped like watching it's like an orange or something, like, I don't know if it's water or something, I don't know, but at the beginning it's like, whoa, and then it shows everyone's poses and weapons, and
it's really show. It's very drawn out.
Yes.
like a lot of these intros were back in the day. It's quite drawn out. And I love the intro, Namco.
Oh wow, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. They're falling from the sky.
I love that it's all the weapons that, this really is hey guys, get ready for a weapons-based fighting game. Check out the weapons.
You can't really show any blood or loss of limbs.
There's a sword. There's another sword with an eye in it. Also, a lot of games in this era had this thing where it was an opening eye. Resident Evil 2 had it. Soul Calibur had it. I feel that was a big thing. Fucking Sonic Adventure had it. I think we talked about that last time with Sonic Adventure, where it was an eye opening.
Yeah, that's
here's a monster's eye opening. Ooh, look at that.
There's my girl. There she is.
Wait, who is that?
Shang Tsung. My girl. Yeah.
And then Astaroth. We got Ivy.
Ivy.
Classic. Mm-hmm.
Sophita.
She's in a field. This intros to fighting games are hilarious. And Super Smash Brothers is the same way, where the intro is just all the characters in epic shots. This is the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen. But there's also oh god, this fucking nightmare. I can't wait to talk about Voldo.
Voldo.
Maxi, Taki.
Taki.
I think it's classic. Taki. This guy's dancing in a bracelet. For some reason.
And then some night that you can't see their eyes, or you can't see out of nightmare.
Oh, that's very Akira Kurosawa, that shot. Yes. It was two samurais. Okay. Okay. A lot of... So that was the boys. Here's the ladies.
And then the caliber of Inferno.
And it's just weapons, 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 weapons. Look at all the weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the intro for Soul Calibur. And really, how nostalgic it was when I turned it on and you just hear guy go, Namco.
Ching,
ching. Yeah, that was fun. And then the game just it's, it's a fighting game. There's not a ton
then
to
welcome
it.
Welcome back. Jonathan.
What I do love, though, and what is seared into my memory, is the character select screen.
Yes, the music.
Just the music. Just this shit.
Oh,
Just like the music. The music and then like the sound effects of choosing your character, frantically choosing your character while a timer counts down. I've never understood that, why it counts down.
It's like, why are you impatient with us? We bought you. We can take our
damn
time. This
is my game. It's my game. So let's go through these characters like one at a time. So I played this recently and like familiarized myself with all these characters. Did you?
Yeah, no, actually I played it today and now something's wrong with my VMU. I don't know where I think I've got three VMUs, so maybe it's on one I still can't find, but I remember the main characters had kind of like their alter, like Shang's Fa was like, mm-hmm. like Wang. It was like the other version of Shang's Fa. So,
that is, that's very interesting. That was something I was going to mention. That's a perfect segue. There's a bunch of new characters in Soul Calibur that were not in Soul Edge. I was looking this up after I had played it, and I had also remembered this, but when I was playing it, I was like, oh, this character is just the same shit as this character. It's just like a different skin, basically. And that's exactly what they did. They made a bunch of new characters, but literally it was just like, okay, so this they just have the same moves. Like, we're going to pick some characters, and we're going to make a new character, but they're going to have the exact same skill set. So it's deceptive a little bit. It's a little bit deceptive.
Sure. Yes.
Because there's a bunch of characters. Let's see how many you got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 20 characters altogether.
Okay.
Or actually, wait, no, I guess like 19, because one of them you can just do randomized. But really, I think there's only like 10 characters. like 10 skill sets.
Because I don't think Shang's Fa was in Soul Edge, but they made it, or maybe it was... But they made her for the arcade or for the Dreamcast? I can't remember. But she wasn't in the original, I don't think.
You are correct. Shang Tsung was not in Soul Edge, but I do believe Huang was. So let's do it like this. Let's talk about each character and then their kind of counterpart. So Huang. Huang. just like, that just sounds like the sound the sword is making. So Huang was in Soul Edge, the original one, and his weapon of choice is the Chinese sword. Shang Shua, if I'm saying that right, is saying her weapon is a, if I'm pronouncing this right, a Jian, a double-edged straight sword.
Okay.
But yeah, I believe they have the same...
Like moves.
Moves, the exact same moves. Like a different weapon, and they reskin the weapons too. But basically the exact same moves. And it's really funny because even though they have the same fucking moves, I prefer Shang Tsung over Huang.
Yeah. I think she moves faster, but that's probably like Patrick, they move the same. I don't care. Maybe it's just a mental image, like she just seems quicker, but
she might move faster. I enjoy playing as her with the sword. Huang, I could take him or leave him, if I'm being honest. But it's not my favorite to play with.
Right. Yeah, well, I apologize if I'm jumping way too soon, but I didn't know if you had like a favorite. Like, I had Shang Tsung, it was like my favorite. Like, I don't know if you had a favorite in their alter ego.
Good. I did have a favorite. Who is my favorite? That's a good question.
Was it Cervantes?
Yes, it was. It was Cervantes. Cervantes was my favorite.
Okay.
I feel like I could pull his moves off for some reason.
Yes, like, you were good with him.
Like, better than other characters. And he had that one move where he would take, because he had like double swords. Uh-huh. What does it say? What does it say that his weapon was? Cervantes, he was like a pirate. Also, like, these characters are ridiculous.
He's like Jose Cuervo.
He really was. Okay, so this is just saying Cervantes' sword. Excuse me. He had two swords. He had a sword in each hand, And he would do this move that I could pull off really well, where he would stab you with bow swords and pick you up and then like slam you down. Yeah,
that's right.
And I could do that. I could do that shit really good. I was pretty good with him. And also, he just like it's like a crazy looking pirate. It's had a lot of fun playing as him. Who is your favorite character?
Oh, mine was Shang Sua for sure. Okay. And my favorite move was just to always, when you pulled back on the analog stick, I guess, when you pulled back and then you push forward and then hit like the attack button, she always did that, like pull back and then lunge forward. That's my, you know, suck my fart move.
Was she the one, I feel like she had a move that you would do all the time. She had this move where she would hit you like high and low.
Yeah, she'd go,
yeah. Like, wah, 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 wah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember getting, because like,
pissed off,
we would scream at each other playing this game. Because Soul Calibur was the type of game where if you could spam one hit and you literally could kill the person without them ever getting a hit on you.
Yes. Yes.
And it was fucked up. Stuck. But yeah, you could, if you timed it right, you could hit someone with the same fucking move and they could never block it or hit you back, and you could just kill them like mercilessly. And we would do that to each other.
in their face when it says, like, you know, when they would lose, like, you know,
yeah,
like you keep on just whacking them. Like,
oh, yes. I love that. I love that so much. We would do that also all the time. So when you kill, like when you win around in Soul Calibur, you hit the person and they fall down. And I'm picturing like, yeah, like one of the women characters, because they do this awful echoing cry that repeats.
Yeah.
So it should be like, ah, and it would echo. But you could then just keep hitting their fucking lifeless body on the ground until it like cut away to show you the replay. And you could just get a bunch of hits, and every time you hit them, they would go, ah! So we would just do that to each other over, smack, 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 ah!
But the soul still burns.
The soul never dies.
That was really, like, that was for sure, yeah. I think, a power move of, like, if you beat someone, you were just like, I will keep hitting you to show how much I want.
And I think, remember when we played it, because they always go straight to the replay, and you know, if it was like somebody like who really wanted to watch how they beat you, they'd just let it play.
They would let it play because you could skip it if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's kind of like in your face, like,
yeah,
yep, yeah. And then the other person's like, you know, come on, just fucking hit start. Come on,
we'll,
come on.
We'll talk about this in a future episode. It was the same. Fuck, it was the same thing with Virtua Tennis. If you beat someone in Virtua Tennis, you're like, yes. I'm gonna sit back. I'm not gonna press the button. I'm gonna watch myself beat you again. I also remember, and this is very, very juvenile, like we were young boys playing this game. I remember you could move the camera around when it would do the replay. Yeah. So you could move the camera around right up their butts. So if it was like Ivy or Sophidia, we would be like, "Ooh, can you get the camera like can it right under like yep, you could look right up her skirt, like right up her butt crack." We would always. I literally when I was playing when I was playing this game to do this podcast, and I was playing against my wife, who I will talk about this in a second. I had to like fight the urge to like zoom the camera like up someone's butt. So I was like, I can't do that now. I'm an adult man. I don't know, 15 again.
Oh, I wish I was.
I know. So sidebar, I was playing this recently, my wife was like hanging out with me, and she was like, "What are you gonna play for?" I got to play Soul Calibur to get ready for this episode. And I was like, "Actually, do you want to play with me? Because it's a 2-player fighting game." She's like, "Oh no, yeah. I'm gonna suck at it." And I was like, "No, it'll be okay." And I'm like thinking, like, "I'll go easy on you. I'm like, I'll let her win one." And I can't remember who she picked first. We went through a bunch of characters. I went through every character. She was very tired by the end. She was like, how much longer do we have to play? And I was like, I gotta play every character. But like, first round, she beats me so fast. And I was like, oh, okay. She's good at games. She's super good at games. And we play a bunch of shit together all the time. It's just that, like, she's never played Soul Calibur before, so she was truly like, I'm not going to be good at this. She was so fucking good at Soul Calibur, Patrick. Like, I instantly, was like, oh, okay, I'm going to try and beat her. Like, I'm not going to go easy on her. She just kicked my ass. So then I was legit trying to beat her, and I couldn't.
Wow.
Like, she was kicking my ass super hard. And I was getting like a little upset. I'm like, I played so much of this fucking game when I was a kid. Why am I not better at this now?
Well, because Jonathan, we're getting older, and I can tell you, not just from this game, but every other game I've been playing these past few weeks, I'm like, I used to be able to beat this.
Be so good.
I can't get past level one. This sucks. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed.
Our fingers used to be smaller, and our hands used to be less tight. I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I was playing Red Dead 2. That's a PS4 game. That's not that old. And I was fishing in Red Dead 2, and it was like, move the joystick around in a circular motion. I was just using my palm. And I'm like, what, am I going to use my thumb? Give myself arthritis? Nice try, Rockstar.
My fingers hurt.
I'm trying to catch a pickerel.
my fingers hurt.
Well, now your back's gonna hurt because you're
Why do you embarrass me like that? Cervantes was my go-to. He's the two swords. I don't think he has a counterpart. I think he's one of the only ones who doesn't have a counterpart.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Which also, okay, we can get into this if we want to, but like the lore of Soul Calibur is deeper than you think it is.
Oh my God. I mean, it's okay. Bring it.
Well, I don't have it yet. Let's go through the characters and then maybe we'll take a quick break and do a lore dump. Cervantes was in Soul Edge, carried him over. Huang was also in Soul Edge and was carried over.
Okay.
There's only one character, I think, who was in Soul Edge that was not carried over, and that is a character named Li Long. And Li Long showed up in, looks like, Soul Calibur 3, and I played that for sure, and I don't remember that character. But his weapon was a nunchaku, and so they definitely replaced him with Maxi. Maxi was not in Soul Edge, but I was never good at playing Maxi.
No, I never played. Your brother was, though. I remember your brother was.
But he was really good. Okay, I do remember him being really good, and it was so annoying because Maxi is a really funny character, but really annoying.
Yeah.
Because he sounds like Bruce Lee, and he looks like Elvis, and he's got nunchucks, and he's just like, what's that? Like making these like little high pitched noises. The one move of his I really like, I do play as Maxi sometimes, because the one move I really like, he'll take his nunchucks and he'll like, like a low move, and he like spins it around like a helicopter. And if you get someone with that, you can be like, and, like hit them really fast with the nunchucks.
Oh, nice.
What were you thinking?
I was like, didn't he have one? He took the nunchucks and he just like take them each one by hand and just like
drumsticks, kind of
like drumsticks. Yeah. And just fashion. Yeah.
He like, I feel like if you knew, and I think my brother did know how to play Maxi. If you knew how to play Maxi, you could beat someone super hard. But I was just never that good. I think because there's no range to him.
Yeah.
Which is another, okay, so that's like another thing to talk about with these characters. Like, it's weapons-based combat. So some of them are very overpowered, depending on what their weapon is.
Yeah.
And they kind of compensate with that with, like, so, like, the big dudes. So we've got Nightmare, who's, like, the bad guy of the series, I guess. He's the one who, like, he looks like a an evil knight, and he's the one who has the soul blade, the big the big sword with the eye in it. And then there's Siegfried. and Siegfried, he was in the first game too.
Oh,
was Nightmare was not in the first game, so they made him for Soul Calibur. But they're the same character, and I don't even mean that in like they have the same moveset, because they do have the same moveset. I think if I'm remembering right with the lore, they are the same person. So it was like Siegfried was corrupted and became Nightmare. So I think they're the same actual person, which is the only part of it that makes sense, where like you guys have the same moveset outside of like the other characters that have the same moveset.
Interesting.
But like the big dudes, because there's them, and then there's also
Astaroth
and Rock. Yeah. And those two characters share the same moveset. Astaroth has like a big hammer, and I think Rock has a big it was like an axe, maybe?
Yeah. Double-sided axe.
A battle axe. So they were the same. And the four of those characters I like never played as, because they're just so fucking slow. Like,
yeah,
I hated playing as them.
I want something quick.
You could fuck someone up with, like, because they have these enormous weapons. If you're playing against someone playing as like Taki, you're gonna get your ass kicked because you can't move at all.
Right. Yeah.
We've got
Musaraki or Musar. I always want to call him Mitsubishi, but it's not. It's Musar.
Oh yeah, we did
the
call
big
him
samurai guy.
Mitsurugi, I think is his name.
And he's like him.
He's he was cool, and he's like a samurai. He's like your typical samurai.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty good.
Like, and then Lizard Man, I think that was his. No, that was Sophia's alter ego.
Yeah.
That's right, Lizard Man.
Okay, yeah. So Sophia and Lizard Man. This is the part that was making me laugh the hardest when we were playing. Sophia is like basically dressed like a gladiator.
Yes,
and like literally has a sword and shield and is like wearing sandals. Like she's a straight up gladiator. She's a sounds like a little girl child, and has this very short skirt, and has a sword and a shield. And her moves, I thought she was your favorite because I feel like you played as her a lot.
Yeah, Shang Tsua. So you got me the action figure of Shang Tsua too. I remember you bought that for me. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, it's in my closet somewhere.
Holy shit, I forgot about that. Okay. Oh my god, I forgot about that. That
was a great present. Thank you very much.
Aww, you're welcome. So Sophia, I think we just all took turns playing as her because she was a pretty solid, I think.
Yes.
Player, like you kind of couldn't go wrong with her moves. And she had the one move. I think like they all had it, but like hers was really easy to pull off, where you would like swing your sword back and hit someone, and they would fly up in the air.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Sorry.
But then as we were saying, the reason I think we all picked her was because, you know, every character has a grab. Like if you can grab someone, you pull off this move where you grab them and you do some sort of thing. She had two grabs that were both hilarious. One of them was just kneeing you in the dick, right? I think that was one of them, was just like she would just get kneed in the dick. The other one was if you grabbed her, she would she would take you and like wrap her thighs around your head and like slam you on the ground and then like do a little shimmy and like crack your head. But it was the most sexual. We're just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's why we never went out, John.
No.
It's like, we've got girls here, man. Yeah.
Why would I go out when I got Sophia?
She likes Cheetos and drinking Coke, too.
Lizard Man. First of all, the most hilarious name for a character. And I can only imagine them being like, all right, so what do you got? What do you got for us? What if it was a lizard? what if it was a lizard that was man-sized and man-shaped, if we're going to be honest? Like, he's got a tail, but he's a dude, but he's a lizard. He's a lizard man. That's awesome. What's his name? Lizard man. Lizard man, that's all we got. Lizard, let's just call him Lizard Man. All right, what are his moves? Sovetius.
Okay, great.
Sounds
lunch
good.
Break. Great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Do we? Everybody write that down. All right, cool. What check?
Lizard man.
Lizard man. Lizard man. I love that guy's voice. Sovetius.
Yeah, I still wish it was. It sounds so much like Carl Sagan. I know it's not, but
it really
that would be
does
so
though.
Amazing.
The billions and the billions of souls. The soul never dies.
And then we've got Kilik and Sungmina. Sungmina was kind of my number two.
Just that stick. I remember Mike Gross would just jump and whack, like whack, whack,
yes.
whack,
yes.
whack. And I hated it.
That was one of those moves that you could do and just kill someone with. I remember that too. Just like screaming at him to stop.
Like, you're not playing. Yeah, I am. No, you're not.
Just pressing the one. He's just sitting there with a shit-eating grin on his face, just pressing one button over and over again. Yeah, so Kilik has a staff and Sungmina has... is
staff.
Basically, it's a staff with a blade on the end of it. So like,
oh, like a spear.
Like, but it was like a big blade. It was like a big, like wide blade at the very end of a long staff. And you could just like with either of those characters, you could fuck someone up and they could never get near you because you had this long thing. You just jab them with. I really like playing as Sungmina. I remember one move of hers, which was really annoying, where she would take the staff and like point it at your feet and just kind of like scramble them. She'd be like,
oh my God, I don't remember that.
Do you not remember that?
No.
Yeah. It's really annoying, but it's great. Okay. As if you're playing as her, it's awesome. But it's, if you're playing against her, it's just like, you just do that over and over again. That was the only way I could ever like even beat Becca playing this game was just like, fucking spamming one move.
Mine would be like bending down and just kicking.
Oh yeah, you just like, oh yeah, you bend down and then you just kick, you shoot your leg out and you kick them over and over again.
And you ring out.
I really like, do you remember doing the thing, because like it was kind of hard to pull off, but you could do you could get your character to run, and if you could get them running and then kick, they would slide. Mm-hmm. And we would play chicken with each other a lot, where like we would run at each other and then one of us would slide and fucking hit the other one, and it would be so annoying
because they would go all the way to the end of the ring.
Yeah,
and then the other person would just run, slide, and knock them out.
And just knock them out. That was another thing, is like, no matter how good you were, if you got kicked off the ring, you died instantly, and it was so fucking annoying. That was like, definitely
it's like, really? You want to do this? Really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
I would do that. Oh my God. I remember that happening so many times where like my strategy when we would play would be either like as soon as it was like fight, I would either press up or back on the D-pad. So I'd either like try and strafe you around the outside, or I would back up all the way to the edge and try and get as much distance. But if I would back all the way to the edge, and then you would run at me and then just at the last second go, sirk, and just slide and kick me off in like one hit. And then it would be like, perfect. Perfect match.
It's like, okay, here we go.
Damn it. Best 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Oh. What? Oh, man.
Taki, I love. Taki's crazy. Okay, first of all, rocket tits. Like,
oh, right. Yes. Yes, that's right.
She has the most hilarious, I don't know. They're just like, they're practically like Madonna tits. And she's wearing this like skin tight bodysuit and she's got like the two little staffs, right? That's her.
Yeah,
that's
or
her deal.
Two little size or something. Yeah,
Kadachi. There's all these names for. I don't know. I don't know what any of these fucking weapons are. But yeah, you could do a thing with her, and she would also like scream and like woo a lot, like very much like Maxie. She would, yeah, and that. You want to say what she would do?
Woo! Woo! Woo!
We could like flip. Yeah. Like she was, I don't know, you could get the most air from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that when I was playing Becca. I was playing Taki, and then I was just going, woo! 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 And just flying all over the place. She's like, how the fuck are you doing that? And I was like, you can only do that with her. I got one up on you.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now I want to talk about two of the most ridiculous characters, Ivy and Voldo.
Yes. Voldo.
Okay. Let's talk about Ivy first. Ivy.
Okay.
Was not in the original game, which is crazy because I feel like she's super iconic to Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
And I guess it really like that just goes to show you like they really figured it out with number two. She's basically a dominatrix. Like that's the way she's always dressed. She's like her ass is out 24/7. She's got also like gigantic tits. She's wearing next to nothing. But her sword is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She has like this like metal chain whip sword. So, and it was so hard to control. Like, because you would either use it as a sword or you'd use it as a whip.
Right.
And I could never really figure out how to, like, how to control it. I would just smash buttons.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But she had a really cool move where she would, like, jam her sword into the ground and then the tip, like, the whip of it would come out of the ground behind you and hit you.
Right, that's right, that's right, yeah.
And another one that she would do that was really fun where she would like turn her sword into a whip and like wrap it around your neck and then you would like kind of spin around a bit.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
she wasn't my favorite character, but I think it was just because I had a hard time like getting her combos down, like getting the moves down. But she's a really like pretty cool character if you can like master it, and just like that weapon is really interesting, and she doesn't have a counterpart with that shit.
That's right.
And then there is Voldo. And again,
sorry,
I want to be like, I just want to be in the room when they came up with his character. I was like, what else you got? Like, okay, I don't know, what if he was a weird little like BDSM freak, and he had kind of like Freddy Krueger hands. Like his weapons were just knife fingers. Can we see his face? No. He's got a ball gag and he's blindfolded. Can we see his ass though? Yes, definitely. His ass is out. His ass is totally out. How does he move? Like a snake, like a weird little snake. Hands down, Voldo was Becca's favorite character when we were playing because she picked him. She did not know at all what was going to happen, but she was like, I'll pick this weird guy. He looks like a gimp. And then when it did the opening, like the intro, and he's just like,
yeah,
and he's like slithering around. She's like, what the fuck is this? And he has the fucking, he's the best moves of the entire, like the whole game. Like, do you remember how you could like turn him around and get on his knees and then he would like shimmy backwards?
That's right. I totally forgot. Because I remember him. what was that other move he did that was really. Didn't he spin? Like,
yes.
Pick you up and spin you with the blades or something like that?
I have a vivid memory of when we would play when we were younger. I would call that the salad shooter.
Oh, very nice. Yes.
So he'd grab you and he would pick you up, and your body would be Like he would put his like finger blades on your back and then he would spin you around really fast. It was like, and he would launch off of him. Yeah, that was one of his grab moves. He has the weirdest moveset, or like not moveset, but just like the character movement. Cause you could turn around and like face your back to the other person, but still attack them. And
I like how sometimes he would just drop. He would just like,
yes,
fall down.
Yeah. Sometimes you just fall down. And that was also hilarious because you could still move. So we would, if you were playing as Voldo and you fell down, you could just roll around the arena, just like a,
just can't get me, can't get me.
And then the way he moved, every other character, when you move them, they're like holding their weapon and they're like running up and running back. Voldo is just like, hey, what's up? Hey, like, hey, come here often. Ooh. Ooh. Hey, do you want to dance? I call this one the slippery snake. Try and catch me. I'm Voldo. He's such a weird little guy, and it's hilarious. Voldo is hilarious. So I think that's all. Oh, that's not all the characters. The only other characters there are stupid. There's Edgemaster.
Which is
now a really funny name for a character. I'm Edgemaster. I never come. I got you good with that one.
Yeah, you did. I did. Because I'm just like Edgemaster. Oh. Zoinks.
So there's Edgemaster, and then there is the boss that you fight at the end of the game that you can then unlock as a playable character whose name is Inferno. Mm-hmm. And they both have the same skill set, and their skill set is all skill sets. So if you play as Edgemaster or Inferno, every time you play, every round, it just randomly picks a different character's weapon for you to have and their moves to do. So really, it's just like a skin that randomizes which character you're going to be playing as, which is like it's kind of interesting, but it's also stupid. I don't like it. I hate it.
Yeah.
Edgemaster is like a big, beefy, like old guy. He's got like a white beard, and then he's just like has everybody's weapons. And then Inferno is just a fire monster. Fucking who cares?
Lame.
As far as I remember, there's no like story to the first Soul Calibur.
It's just something about like get the sword and you're like the best in the world, or something.
Get the sword and you're the best. I played a lot of Soul Calibur games because I never liked any of them as much as the first one. I think Soul Calibur 3 I actually did play a lot of, and because they had like they did like a like an RPG kind of campaign in that one.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that?
I kind of just remember, I could be wrong, but or maybe I'm thinking of the first game, but I always thought like there was kind of like a map and destinations and points. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was like Soul Calibur 3, I think, was the one that I played on. Oh, it was probably PS2. But like you could play it as just Soul Calibur. You play like fight like one person against one person. But then there was like a campaign where you could actually go through the campaign. I think I don't remember if you could like change characters, but there was like tactics involved and you could like assign like resources and shit. It was actually like kind of deep, and I remember really getting into it at the time. This is probably like 2006 maybe. And then at a certain point, I don't remember which game it was, but they at a certain point you could create your own character. And they had like a character creator.
That's right. I remember that. I remember them having with that in the series.
And I'll be totally honest, I bought the last one. I think the last one to come out was Soul Calibur 6. And that was for, it might have been PS4 or PS5, actually. God, when was that? Soul Calibur 6. That was the last one to come out. And it is for PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Okay, so it's a last-gen game. I bought it for PlayStation 4, full price. I played it once. And I never played it. I never even touched it again. And I was just so annoyed. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have bought this game. Should not have bought this game. But yeah.
That sucks.
That's fine. I mean, it was like years ago at this point. But clearly still a bit of a hard pill for me to swallow.
Yeah. Well, was it the second Soul Calibur where they had like Link for the GameCube version, Darth Vader for the PlayStation version, and then Spawn, I think, for the Xbox version.
Dude, I forgot about that.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my god.
I never bought it. Never bought any Soul Calibers after the first one.
I just had the first one. Super forgot that you could even play as like those other characters. Oh my god, you're right. Okay, so yeah, Soul Calibur 2 came out in 2002. And on the game on GameCube, you could play as Link. Characters, Soul Calibur 2, Cassandra was a new character. I think she was like Sophidia's little sister. Oh, Talon was awesome. Talon was not in the first Soul Calibur, but I actually really like. I did definitely play other Soul Calibur games because Talon had the
big rings.
No, I was thinking of her, but Talon had those. What are they called? They're like they look like nightsticks, kind of.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, who is the chick that had the big ring? Because that was really cool. Okay, there is a character called Necrid, who is a new character created by Todd McFarlane. Of course. Heihachi Mishima from Tekken was on PlayStation 2. That was an exclusive character. And Link was on the GameCube. And Spawn was on Xbox.
Okay, okay.
So Necrid was, I guess, a new character, but it was on all versions. But you're correct. So it was Spawn, a Tekken character. I don't fucking know who it is. Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy was originally intended to be on PlayStation, but licensing fell through. So then they had to use, I guess, some random asshole from Tekken. I totally forgot that you could play as Link in Soul Calibur. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would have. if I could go, well, of course, I could always buy it, but yeah. I wonder how Link played.
Yeah, I wonder, like, okay, let's be honest, he probably had Sophidia's playset. Like,
okay, very true. Yes,
moveset.
Fine.
Tira.
Oh, okay.
T-I-R-A, Tira, had a ring blade, and she was in Soul Calibur 3. I really liked her. Okay, so I think Soul Calibur 3 really was like the last one of these like main games that I actually played a lot of. And then I bought 6, but I never played it. But she was really cool because, she had like, it's like a hula hoop, basically, with blades on it.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I think Soul Calibur 3 was the first one. I could look this up, but whatever. I think that was the first one of these games where you could create your own character. Because I feel like I remember making characters, because you would choose which weapon you wanted them to use, and then they would just have that play style.
Right.
But then you could, like, customize your fucking custom character. Because I remember really liking the ring blade thing and making a custom character that used that.
Because I think, I remember going to your house just to hang out or something like that. I do remember, playing that. And then I'm pretty sure there. I remember seeing a character creation thing. But, yeah, I don't know why I never picked up any other ones except for the first one. I mean, I guess I was just so...
It's one of those things where, I don't know. I don't like playing online against strangers.
No, I don't either. I hate it.
I hate it so much. I'm not good at it. There is a period of time in our lives where we played, where we were so local and we didn't have girlfriends. We had retail jobs. And so it was really, really, really easy to just hang out all the time and play video games together. And so there is so many couch co-op games, and that's 100% why a lot of this Dreamcast shit lives in my memory very fondly, because so much of it was like shared experiences, like Soul Calibur, Virtua Tennis, fucking Samba de Amigo, House of the Dead 2, all these games that we played together. And then once people started going to college and like moving away and having relationships and all that kind of stuff. Like, it sounds cliche, but it's true. It's just like, oh, well, we just didn't have as much time to do that kind of stuff that we used to.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like, well, I don't really care that much about new Soul Calibur. I can't play.
Well, if I get it, then I might lose my girlfriend and then I can't play it. So
might get divorced if I get a new Soul Calibur.
She might not want to like be with me anymore.
I'll just
buy it under my bed. Yeah.
Who am I kidding? Next time we see each other, we're just going to play the fucking Dreamcast Soul Calibur.
Yeah, that Virtua Tennis. Yeah. By the way, yeah, if you want to come out here, I'll fly you out. I'll pay for your plane ticket.
Wait, I'm getting a new job soon.
By the time this airs,
I will have a new job. And I was like, ooh, you know what I can do with my new salary? I can go fucking visit Patrick in Texas.
Yeehaw.
So get ready for that, Jingo Django motherfucker. We'll do a live episode of the podcast while I'm out there.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be really fun, actually. Yeah, I would love that.
Oh my God, that'd be so much fun. All right, I'm going to start planning that. So kind of unlike Sonic Adventure, which we talked about before, I found controlling Soul Calibur actually not at all bad.
No, considering the shape of the controller and
yeah,
how there's kind of like, you know, comparisons of, you know, oh, man, he is cramped up. Or mm-hmm. I think there are a lot better controllers than the Dreamcast, but I think for Soul Calibur, that one feels great. I couldn't agree more. I think it feels really good playing it.
I had no problem. I wasn't like, and again, like we said before about this game, like with the forgiving buffering, I think that probably helps you play the game because you really don't have to be like super precise. That was part of like what was kind of driving me crazy with Sonic Adventure was like, I would try and jump here and he would just be like, boing, oh, and like die.
No, oh, tails. No,
Eggman. So for like, I mean, it's a button mashy game. So for a button mashy game, I had no problem like mashing the buttons. On the VMU too. I think it's Sung Mina, isn't it? Like
you. Whoever you play, yeah.
Is it whoever you're playing? Okay.
Yeah, I have Shang Tsung on mine. Yeah.
Maybe I only looked down at it when I was playing Sung Mina, but yeah, whoever you're playing as shows up as like a little pixelated character, and there's like,
yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Nice touch.
Yeah.
There was one thing I did see that I thought was pretty funny with Valdo.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly he had like on his crotch a bear head, but it was removed in the North American release, but it's still in Japan and Europe releases. I thought that was like,
why was it removed?
I don't know, but I'm like, why would that be? He's already weird as it is. Keep the bear head on his crotch. Like, just leave it alone, you know? Jeez, gosh.
Restore Valdo. I just Googled Valdo Bearhead, and I just want. I'm getting nothing.
Oh,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying the internet sucks.
If you look up Soul Calibur on Wikipedia, I think there's something under characters and it talks about Valdo or something. I think I remember seeing that. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is a good question or not, but did you have like a favorite arena, or was there a certain track? Because I always thought it was funny in the game. Like, it showed you the theme music that was playing, the BMG, and then it showed you in the upper left-hand corner what the arena was or what the level name was. I don't know if you had anything, if you had a favorite.
And like it always showed it in like this weird little like hologram, like geometric hologram, right? It was always, it was like a little like
shimmered,
like a disc. Yeah. And I'm like, that gives me nothing. I don't know. You know, the one that's coming to mind is Ivy's, because it was like the interior of like a castle.
Yeah, that one was cool.
It was all like gold and like marble and shit. And that was pretty cool looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I liked Mitsuragi's. I guess it was the kind of the Asian like kind of atmosphere, but I just remember Valdo's. I think level was called the Money Pit or something. I don't know. Yeah. I think I remember seeing it saying Money Pit.
What is like, his backstory even?
What the hell is this? Okay. I'm going along with it. I'll beat him. Like, get me out of here.
Okay, so Patrick.
Yes.
Algol, the king that once wielded Soul Edge and lost his son because of the demonic sword, vowed to create a holy sword from the purified shards of Soul Edge that would oppose the evil sword, being its equal in strength and opposite in intent.
So,
okay. So we've got a king. we've got two swords. So the Soul Edge is the demonic sword. That's the bad sword. Okay. And then we've got a purified shards of that were then used to create a good sword. So we got a bad sword and a good sword.
Okay.
Algol enlisted the help of the greatest sage in the land, who used purified fragments of the cursed sword to forge a new spirit sword, to be known as Soul Calibur. Okay, so Soul Edge is the bad sword. Soul Calibur is the good sword. After many failed attempts, the holy sword was born when Algol sacrificed himself to complete the ritual. However, the sword that was created was far from good due to Algol's thirst for power, and it was extremely similar in nature to Soul Edge.
Oh.
Wow. I definitely didn't get any of this from the intro of the game.
I don't recall hearing that. I just remember the soul still burns.
I know that the soul still burns, if I remember one thing. Nevertheless, Patrick, the tribe that was tasked with guarding the sword slowly purified it to the point that it could be considered a holy weapon, while keeping dormant the dark soul that rested within the sword. The guardians lived in seclusion, passing the sword from generation to generation in secret. Whenever a warrior vowed to take on Soul Edge on his own, Soul Calibur appeared to prevent the cursed sword from causing any more damage. When wielded by King Arthur... King Arthur?
Where the fuck are they going?
Okay. When wielded by King Arthur, it was referred to as Excalibur. So Soul Calibur is Excalibur. Or I guess the other way around. Excalibur is actually Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur finally appeared, somehow transformed into a different shape as one of the Ling Shang Su temple treasures, a sword called Krita Yuga. Oh, God. Okay. we're in it now. The other treasure, Kali Yuga and Devapara Yuga, are linked to the holy sword. Kali Yuga, a holy staff, is capable of absorbing different energies in order to strengthen Soul Calibur. Devapara Yuga, the holy mirror of the Ling Shang Su temple, is used to help keep the purity of Soul Calibur intact and has the power of purifying the corruption of Soul Edge. However, Soul Calibur is becoming manipulative, like her brother weapon, Soul Edge. So Soul Calibur is female? For her purpose.
It's a sword.
Oh my God. So that's the plot of Soul Calibur.
Wow.
What? Where did any of that come from? Who knew?
I thought it was just a $50 game I bought on Dreamcast.
So what I want to know is,
yes,
who the fuck is Voldo? Like, how does Voldo come into this? Like, just like he knows about the Soul Calibur, and he's just like,
hey, I could use a diamond. I got my knife fingers. Thank you so much for my drink. Thank you.
I feel like he talks like Cobra Commander.
Give me the Soul Calibur.
You know what? Next time I play that, I'm just going to have Cobra Commander's voice in that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's going to be, oh man, how great would it be if Cobra Commander was a playable character in Soul Calibur. That'd be so fucking awesome, though.
Destro, beat him for me.
And then, like,
Destro, help me. Stop kissing the Baroness.
Oh wow. Yeah, Baroness. Yeah.
I looked up Voldo.
Okay. Because
I'm just gonna be honest. I don't care about any other character. Like, he's the most interesting one to me.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
I looked up Voldo and I got nothing. I'm not looking up fan fiction because we're not gonna do that. But like,
no.
In Soul Calibur 4's Chain of Souls, whatever the fuck that is, Voldo is shown to be the only character to be exploited by two characters at the same time. That just sounds like pornographic.
Yeah, there's something there.
What? Okay, how about I look up Voldo backstory? Someone give me something. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm going into a wiki article called Original Timeline. I already regret this so much.
Oh, get comfortable, people.
I will heavily edit this. Voldo first appeared in Soul Edge. Oh, he was in Soul Edge? I thought he was, okay. What do you know? Voldo first appeared in Soul Edge, offering the first insights of his unpredictable playstyle and mannerisms. Later in the sequel, Soul Calibur, which is what we're talking about today, he gained many of his staple moves and traits that would later stay in his reappearance during the following games 2, 3, and 4. He's one of the few characters to have been present in every version of the game. Okay, biography. I don't care. I already know what he looks like. Okay.
He's got two arms and two legs.
Oh, okay. So Voldo was the right-hand man of Italian weapon merchant Verci, known as the Merchant of Death due to his business with the Spanish Armada. Verci desired Soul Edge to form part of his collection of rare weapons, and Voldo stood as the head of the expeditions in his search. That seems questionable. That guy is going to be like leading your sword expedition. He can't talk. Like, can you imagine him on like some Italian ship and they're like, "Oh, Mr. Voldo, where are we going?" And he just turns around. And he's like,
he just walks away as this assless chap.
And he turns towards you, but he walks backwards away, like shimmies. And you're like, I don't. He's our boss. He's in charge of this. What? Even he contracted the services of the Patrick. Voldo contracted the services of the feared Spanish captain Cervantes de Leon. So Voldo hired Cervantes.
Wow.
I don't buy it. I don't see Voldo as being in charge of anything.
No. No.
Later accompanied Verci when he decided to take the search personally. Well, obviously Verci was like, I had to do this myself. I don't know why I entrusted this to a mute gimp. When word came that the Italian wars... What? You know, the Italian wars.
Oh, yeah, that was a terrible one.
Spilled oregano. Word came that the Italian wars broke on Italy and that Verci's possessions were the first targets, Verci grew angry. He moved his fleet, the only remaining possession, on an uninhabited island off the coast of Sicily in the Mediterranean Sea and dug a 50-meter deep shaft that would serve as his tomb and vault. Like, what? I'm reading this online. Where did this information come from?
Somebody I can't believe spent the time.
Someone wrote this.
Somebody wrote that.
Someone wrote this after researching it. That's, I mean, commendable. Because
yes,
whoever
true.
Did that,
that's
thank you
true.
So much. Voldo would later be instructed to slay the sailors that helped in the construction to avoid the location of Verchi's money pit to be revealed, then later shut himself with his deceased master. That I buy. I buy that 100%. Ooh. That's Ooh. On brand.
Okay.
The money pit would later become Voldo's staple stage. Patrick! The money pit. Featuring in every game in different locations like the main vault in Soul Edge or the top tier. Voldo would remain sealed underground, turning himself into the guardian of the tomb and slaying those who ventured to steal, making rumors of the island, its treasures, and its, quote, ghost guardian spread around the globe. Years later, Voldo would hear his master's voice commanding him to search Soul Edge once again, making him leave the tomb to do so. So Voldo is sealed inside the money pit with some dead Italian dude and all of his money and shit. Wild. This is wild. I'm going to be honest. The entire podcast should have just been us talking about Voldo.
The Voldo files. There you go.
Welcome back to the Voldo files. The files never die.
The files were finally found.
Voldo lives eternally in the money pit.
I'm Carl Sagan.
See you in billions of billions of years from now.
What if Soul Calibur took place in the future? That'd be fucked up, right?
Carl Sagan was like the final boss.
Oh, maybe he's Inferno. He's a star, man. He's a star.
He's a star. There you go.
Fucking brought it full circle. Okay, I feel like we could keep talking about Soul Calibur lore for a really long time, and yeah. I wanna curb that.
Yes.
Desire. All right, so. It's time to rate Soul Calibur. Patrick, I definitely have my rating.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. 5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars. Yeah.
Soul Calibur is a fucking absolute 5-star game.
Yes.
There's no... Played so much of this thing back in the day and since. And still. Yeah.
I would say it's probably when... my Dreamcast is always hooked up. To my CRT TV, but every time I want to play some Dreamcasts, I mean, even if I just play with Shang Shua for a quick arcade battle, I want a cozy time. It's perfect.
It's truly a genre defining game and a console defining game, honestly.
Yeah. And it holds up beautifully. It really just does. Looks great and
it's
plays
just so
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Five stars.
Five stars. Five to ease.
Patrick, do you have any final thoughts on the game Soul Calibur for Dreamcast?
I really don't. As I look at this and just the memories and just playing this recently, I mean, we've talked about it, and I know critics can talk about this. This game still looks beautiful on a 128-bit system that came out in 99.
It's great.
It runs so smoothly. Graphics still look great. And it's something that, like Virtua Tennis, it's just going to hold the test of time. It's just always going to hold up. So a fighting game, and I don't have a lot of them. This is like probably one out of three I have for all these consoles I own. This one is still my favorite. So that's
same.
It.
Same, truly same. I'll still play Soul Calibur like years from now. I'll still just like pop it in and play it at some point. Like next time I see you, we're gonna play it.
I'm excited. That and watch some nacho flicks.
Fuck,
so yeah.
Yes. That's it for this episode of Casting Dreams. That's all we have, I think, to say about Soul Calibur. Join us next time where we talk about another classic Dreamcast game. What's it gonna be? I don't even know. We'll find out together.
Sounds like fun.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.